welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Don't forget, join me Monday mornings from 6:20 to 6:30 as I talk to Jack about some of the things that are going on politically and current events as well. And then I'm in studio on Fridays as we look at this very chaotic, certainly very chaotic political season and talk about some of the things that are affecting us not only in the state but beyond the state as well. Hey, we're pleased to have this next group on. Of course, Cesar Grajales is part of the team over at Libre Initiative. Now, many of you who've listened to this show quite a bit remember that we used to have Libre on quite a bit as we went through several election cycles and then have them on talking about the economic efforts that they were putting forth as well. But we're pleased to be joined by Cesar to talk a little bit not only about the organization, but an initiative they've put forth to talk about Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Cesar, how are you this morning?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I will remind everybody, we pre-record on Saturday morning, so we got Cesar up really early in the morning. So we always appreciate that. You know, the first thing, so remind our existing listeners and our new listeners about Libre, and I'll give the web address and make sure we put it up on the Facebook as well. Tell us a little bit about the organization and some of your initiatives outside of just certainly Amy Coney Barrett.
Sure. Jeff, Libre was created back in 2011, almost 10 years now. It's going to be 10 years next year. And Libre is a nonprofit organization, nonpartisan. And our idea is to reach out to the Hispanic community across the nation and talk about the values of preserving the free markets principles in the country, the value of hard work and discipline, and continue talking to the community the importance of electing leaders that bring these ideas and protect these values, protect the Constitution, follow the Constitution when they are legislating. And the way that we're doing it is through different events, first of all. We're reaching out churches, we're going to schools, we're doing rallies around different topics like school choice, for example. So we started small, and now we are in several states across the country, Texas, Florida, North Carolina, many different states, and the response from the community has been fantastic. I think that was needed. An organization like ours, in the past, and there have been other Hispanic organizations reaching out to the community, but in our opinion, those organizations were not bringing the right message or the right conversation. Our conversation, again, is to tell the community the reason in the first place we moved to this country is because we want better policies, is because we want an opportunity for us and our families, because we want to work hard and we want to create value for our families and for our neighbors and our society. So that's what we're doing in our organization constantly every year, not just in election cycles, but every year. And I think that has given us the opportunity to continue growing.
Yeah, you guys are busy all the time. Once again, talking with Cesar. So, and it's interesting, too, is those are values that are shared across all ethnicities and all communities, which is really cool when organizations start focusing on those as well. So, Cesar, when we think about it, you know, one other question, too, is that what I find interesting is that you immigrated to the United States. So where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in Colombia, and I came to the United States back in 20 years ago. I came here as a political refugee. There was the peak of the violence in Colombia with the guerrillas and all the cartels and everything.
Yeah.
So my family and I decided to apply for political asylum here in the United States. And that was granted. And then we moved to Miami. We got here I would say my story is kind of the same story for many other immigrants. And we get here with $80 in our pockets. We use it to pay for the first night, a hotel, and then the following day we started trying to find a job in different fields, and we started working in construction industry, then gardening, in a bakery, so many different jobs. So the idea was to grow, but actually find opportunities that the community can give us. My family is very Catholic, and my dad reached out to the priest here in Miami when we got here, like 2 days after, and he introduces to our community, to the community, and the community gives us the opportunity to find different jobs. And 20 years later, my parents have a small business here in Miami. I've been working with Libre almost 10 years again. Nice. I went to the university. Many things I've been doing, and thanks to the opportunity that I received in this nation. And that's my story.
It's a great story. I love listening to immigrant stories. You know, having been born here, I think sometimes we fail to realize, those of us who are born here, the journey that people have to take. Our ancestors came here a while ago, but the journey is so important, especially why people want to come to the United States. So it's a wonderful thing that you shared with us. So Cesar, let's talk about Judge Amy Coney Barrett. So you guys have a great initiative going on right now, and I know you're extremely active in your community, talking to them about, you know, those freedoms that certainly sometimes get missed in legislation. But now we have this judge coming forth, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and you guys are really trying to make sure that everybody is focused on her and some of her strengths. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're thinking about with this judgeship.
Well, I think that this is a great opportunity for the country to have a judge that will replace RBG. Judge Amy definitely is a nominee that puts the Constitution first, interprets the law as great, and I think that's key, that's important. We don't need a judge that will be legislating from the bench. I think we need someone that really understands the Constitution and really, when making decisions, put the Constitution first. And that's the reason we are behind her, reaching out the community and seeing the importance in this election cycle to tell to the senators the importance to really confirm a Judge Amy, because it's very key to have someone that really, again, I think that's very important, someone that really understands the Constitution, put the Constitution first, and interprets the law as granted.
You know, one of the things, too, Cesar, that when we talk about how we look at judges and how we address some of the issues that we might have with them or some of the strengths that they have. So one of the criticisms that seem to be coming out right now is that she is Catholic. And I find it interesting that this bashing of someone's faith would be the first way that some might lead with this. But one of the things is when we look at the Hispanic community, it is very faith-based. It has a strong representation to the church. How does generally the community think that when they hear people going after faith that they feel so comfortable with, instead of looking at the record? How do you think they feel about that?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it is important to, yes, pay attention to the record of the judge and make sure that the person is following the Constitution. But also, you want someone in the as a judge that is family oriented, someone that faith is important in, and as you mentioned, in our community, faith is so key, it's so important. Only having the family in the center is very important. So I think that really resonates in our community when we talk about Judge Amy and the importance of selecting her. Someone that obviously will put the vision, and I think will have in her heart those principles, having family-oriented and faith-oriented when she's taking decisions so key in our country. I think that's important. I think that resonates in our community. I think that is not a difficult conversation to have with the Hispanic Latino community about Judge Amy.
Once again, we're talking to Cesar Agrajales. Of course, he's from the La Libre initiative. I'll post that information up as well. As we get ready to kind of get to the end of the interview, Cesar, for once again, thanks for joining us so early in the morning. When we look at this election, too, and I think that when we look at some of the things that are going on, what I find interesting is that you guys down in Florida have been hit really hard. Your small businesses have taken a major impact. Not as bad, though, as some of the other states. What are some of the things that you guys are trying to promote, one, through for small businesses, and then two, certainly the health issues around COVID-19?
Jeff, unfortunately, everything started in March. We started immediately to switch online and reach out to the community and telling the community that we are here to help them through the online platforms in any issues that they have. So the first thing that we did is when Senator Rubio and others in the Congress started working with the PPP, we invited Senator Rubio to explain to the community in a virtual town hall how the PPP will work and how they can apply. So obviously that kind of services, bringing the stars of the creators of the programs that the government at the moment were creating to mitigate the situation, people really appreciate that because then they understood how to mitigate their own situations. That's one thing. The second thing was creating tools for the community on how they can battle this, how they can use the online tools for continue promoting their businesses. And the third conversation that we had is in this election cycle, definitely we need to continue having key legislators at the state level, local level, because we also have elections in cities like Miami. We had a mayor race here in Miami too. So
yeah.
Talking about the importance of keeping key legislators in office and bringing new ones that are aligned with understand the businesses and the need of cutting regulations and red tape, displaying the importance of this year in the speed recovery of the businesses. So that's what we have been doing with the community, all those town hall meetings online, and again bringing a key legislator. In fact, this week we had Senator Reid Scott in a virtual town hall meeting for the community, talking about the Supreme Court judge and many other topics, and the recovering of the service industry in cities like Miami and Orlando. The service industry is so important for the tourism. So explaining how the Senate is approaching this situation and what kind of programs they will be continue creating. So everything that is related to businesses and how you can apply to the new options or help that the government is implementing for you to this time around help with the speed recovery and the businesses, we have been doing that. Also explaining the community that these programs should be temporal and explaining that as soon as the we mitigate this, or the government starts helping to mitigate this, you obviously this program has to be ended because the national debt is also growing, and it's another problem that we're facing in the country.
Yeah, you guys have been doing a wonderful job. Once again, folks, if you want to check them out, go to The Libre Initiative. I'll post that information up online. It's simple. It's thelibreinitiative.com. You can find out about criminal justice reform, economic opportunity, education, healthcare, immigration, trade, all those things that are important to all this. Hey, Cesar, thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning, re-aired on Sunday, and wish you the best of luck through certainly the rest of the election and all your other initiatives.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you to all your audience. Thank you very much.
You're